Welcome, my friends, to Scrimeer of the MTG Advice Podcast. I'm Riley.
I'm Dennis.
And we're here to solve your problems. Dennis, we have so much to get across today. We have time capsule chat.
Mm-hmm.
We've got beating Sparky chat.
Mm-hmm.
We have advice, but boring, whatever. We'll get through that. We have power moves.
Mm.
But Dennis?
Dentist. not just the not Dennis-er, the Dennisist.
The Dennisist. Dennis, the most exciting segment of the podcast we've decided to do right at the front because, the listeners, they're not going to believe their luck because, Dennis, it's time for, can you believe it?
I can't believe it.
For Channel 5. Oh, yes. You know, they say, like, you should finish strongly, like, you should end with a big bang, right? No. We put all the good stuff right up the front. We're eating our ice cream
for breakfast, baby.
Exactly. Dennis, what do we got?
We got call time box breaks, baby.
I'm doing one of these, man.
You're doing one of these, man.
What are you hoping for?
So for those of you that don't know, the way this works is these specific call time box breaks are let me double check.
Dennis came prepared.
I have the page open. I had just idly scrolled way too far down on it.
What do we got?
You got a box of set boosters and a box of collector boosters.
Mm-hmm.
And you get one slot, Riley.
Yeah.
So you're in one of these already.
Yeah.
You're going to get white or blue or black or red or green or artifact or land or multicolor.
I don't get to choose, but I get one of those.
Don't get to choose.
One of those.
They'll randomize it live at the start of the stream.
Yeah.
And they crack all the packskies and you get the cards in your group.
I'm very much looking forward to it. I think I want to hit green.
Mm-hmm.
I think I want green. Hang on, here's a question. You know the gods that are like green on one face and then multicolored on the other face?
Mm-hmm.
Are they multicolored?
I think I want multicolored then because I want the
one who flips into the five color enchantment, and I want a Jorn as well. So I think I'll be.
Look, this is an ad read for box break, so I appreciate like the enthusiasm. But if you want specific cards, this is not the most efficient way to acquire them.
It's the only way to acquire magic cards. Channel 5 or box break. There's no other way to get cards.
I like how we're making fun, but there are people who do that. There are people who are like, oh yeah, I want to get these four cards for my deck. I'll just buy two boxes. It's like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. I mean, it's one way to do it. Also, if you enjoy cracking packs, like, you know, the age old axiom is like, always buy singles, never buy like sealed product if you're looking for a thing. But I know people who are just like, I don't care about that. I like opening packs.
I know you don't particularly like opening packs.
No,
I know
really.
You really don't like slightly degenerate behavior.
Yep.
So
I'm not into that. I'm not into that. I don't mind watching people be a degen. I'm just not enormously a degen myself.
Right, but I wonder if you'll get swept up in the box break.
Well, I think I will, man. I'm doing one. Like, I'm into it now. I'm fully pot committed. I'm going for gold. Well, I'm going for gold specifically.
Literally,
I'm going for gold. Yeah.
I did one a Legends pack.
Yeah, I watched this
over the weekend with Gabby and Luis bought into two, and you buy a single card. You buy a single card, and that card, and you know, they open the pack, they shuffle the cards, you get one card at a time, reveal
and,
slowly.
And that may not sound very exciting to you, dear listener, well, opening a boost and getting one card. Let me remind you that in Legends, there is not only Mana Drain and Moat, there is also the Tabernacle at Pendrell Vale, which is $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
So Dennis was shooting for the moon.
And I got me a glyph.
Yeah.
Which is like 28 cents.
Yeah.
But Louise tweeted saying, I bought into this thing. Hope Dennis gets kobolds of care keep.
Yeah. And then, so, like, it's just savage BM from
but Riley. There. The stars align. The universe understands. Yeah. Everything corrects itself.
Laser guided karma.
Louise got kobolds of care keep.
It was perfect. It was extremely good. It was extremely.
But no, box breaks are fun. Hit the shelf.com/box breaks. Mm-hmm. Riley, which one are you in?
I don't know yet. It has, like, because I'm doing one of the on demand ones, it's fast. It's fast and it's furious. You should call them that. Fast and furious box breaks. That's pretty good.
I think Universal might have something to say
about that. No. Don't even worry about that. You actually, because if you're doing an on demand one, you only find out 20 minutes beforehand. So I'm going to be ready, man. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to try to line up my stream with it, but again, I just don't know when it's going to be. So.
You'll have a window. There's a window on the schedule that'll say when the on-demands are breaking.
Oh, sure. Sorry. I just don't know the exact time.
The exact time.
But I'll,
know,
but
like,
I'll,
within an
I'll,
hour or two,
I'll yeah. tweet about it if people want to come and watch me open all the Johns. And I think it's Eskies. I can't remember her name. The one that flips into the... I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to rip some extremely good stuff from those box breaks.
So we sent a bunch of, you know, people that we work with and stuff like that, affiliates and things like that, invites to do this new one of the people that we sent.
Yep.
There was a serious debate on the back end between Gabby and I as to whether or not we should even bother reaching out to Marshall Sutcliffe.
Just because he hates opening packs?
This flies against everything he stands for.
Yeah. I think you should have got into. I mean, he's a bit of a mover and shaker in the Magic World. You should have offered him a deluxe VIP upgrade version or something, and see what his, because every man has his price.
The white glove.
There is a way that you could get Marshall Sutcliffe to start ripping packs without drafting them, right? You
did
just
I
have
ever
to find
you,
out what that number is.
Did I ever tell you about the time we pitched back when I worked at CFB events of when, you know, there's this time people go to convention halls to Magic the Gathering?
Oh, that sounds highly spurious. Did that ever happen?
Yeah. Weird, right? Yeah. I pitched the double diamond VIP package because we had the diamond VIP package with like the cookies and the lounge and stuff.
Yeah.
All that stuff, right?
Double diamond?
The double diamond VIP package.
Okay.
In which Louise Scott Vargas would come pick you up from your hotel in the morning in a limousine.
I don't think this is double diamond, dude. I think we're well into like triple diamond here. Okay.
We really pitched it. Louise will come pick you up.
Yep.
Didn't get very far past the pitch stage, unfortunately.
Did it not?
No.
My
contention was Luis has buys in the main event anyway. What's the big deal?
What's he doing with that time anyway? He should come on. He should be bootstrapping for the company here. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a shame it didn't get past. Didn't get past the pitch stage there, Dennis.
I don't know what went wrong. But yeah, head over to shopify.com/boxbreaks. You can use all your codes. You can use your knights. You can use your smars. You can use
don't
your
plug anyone else. It's bad enough you plug smar.
I guess I'd just take
half.
You're
going to use a third one as well. Don't give people too many options.
That's true.
At least with this one, I've got a decent chance of getting some money from it. But I mean, if you start bloody saying use a coupon code LVD or Voxy or Tupperware or any of the other ones. Now I'm doing it. Terrible.
All right, Riley. We got to follow up.
Well, I mean, forget channelfireball.com.
Who's that? It's Father Time.
Open the door and let Father Time in. What's Father Time got to say to us, Dennis?
He wants to know what's going in the capsule so we can put it away for safekeeping. So last week, we had a write-in.
Last week, we had an exciting sponsorship offer from two lads, Maddie and Hal, who do drywalling in England. They make those...
No wet walling.
No wet walling. They will not touch a wet wall. Well, actually, in some of the photos they sent me, the walls are very wet and very muddy. But afterwards, once they dry off, they stay dry.
Bone.
But they were saying how they find stuff in the walls that was put there like 200 years ago when these walls were built. And they offered to put basically a time capsule inside one of their walls, right? That would then, when it was repaired in 200 years, you know, assuming the robot overlords by that stage haven't found a way to make, you know, permanent drywalls, would be taken out to the confusion and enjoyment of many, you know, back then.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was, what could we put in the time capsule inside the wall to enchant and enliven the lives.
Bedazzle
the people who find it. We had some great suggestions, Dennis. We had some very, very good suggestions. Someone suggested a paper book because they won't exist in 200 years.
They probably will.
Well, I wonder what the reason behind... Because it wasn't explained why. Will they not exist because they've been superseded by digital books, or will they not exist because in 200 years we will have bombed ourselves back into the Stone Age and we'll be rediscovering
on tablets
pottery? Yeah. You know, exactly. You know, so either way,
start of the Civilization 6 tech tree.
Exactly, we're right back to the beginning. So they knocked on. Oh, what's this? Some sort of papery substance? I don't understand.
An ancient civilization has gifted you a boost in your technology.
Yeah, you've discovered writing. Yeah. I don't mind that, but we have some more magic related ones which I thought were very good here, Dennis. You want to give us some of those?
We have a 3 mana 6/6 like Uro, so we can show how bad and powerless cards were back in the day.
3 mana 6s, they look at this like, geez, what? Oh, and it doesn't have an ability where you can cast it from your trade binder for free and your opponents to give you $50. What?
Yeah, what the hell?
Well, this is a terrible card.
We have a priceless snapshot to show how cards have changed in price. Because, you know, you get those pictures of, like, Duelist or whatever, Scry, that are like, but get your Black Lotus, $79.99.
Yeah. This is like Underground Seas on sale, $20. And people back there are like, oh, $20? I'm not paying $20 for a bit of card.
That's Shivam Dragon money.
Yeah, that's Shivam Dragon. So, yeah, priceless now. I think it'd be very good, you know, for when you're having to sell a kidney and your firstborn child to get your hands on a bit of power. How about this one, Dennis? This is one that you came up with, which I thought was actually really, really good. Dennis suggested a fake set in, like, fake booster wrappers and a fake box, right?
Mm-hmm.
the forgotten set, the set that never was. You confuse future Magic players by they open up this set. You know, it's what are we calling it, Dennis?
Return from Ravnica.
Return from Ravnica. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And like, oh, the Ravnica set that never was. Ah, the double like, shock lands.
And then, but then all like pure Mandela effect. So all like we like in the magazine we put in there that has the price list in it. Mm. It's like release of sets, and it's like right between Theros Beyond Death and Ikoria or whatever. It's like bam.
Yeah.
Return from Ravnica. People are like, but this, I don't remember what
the darker confident what
darkest confident
darkest confident apparently was in the set. I love that idea. I love gas lamping an entire generation of Magic nerds in 200 years by custom printing a fake set and putting
it's the way God put all those dinosaur board bones in the ground to trick us. You know,
yeah, exactly. We're putting Magic cards in a dry wall to trick future Magic players. Anyway, the pact is sealed, and I'm happy to move forward with this sponsorship. So now, I guess like.
We should wait for our affiliate code to be put in place on maddinhell.com.
We have to wait for maddinhell to give us actual details of how to contact them as well. Like,
this is one way.
I guess you just type in maddinhell drywall panines. Is that going to do it?
Like Maddie drywall Wales, right?
No, panines. It's in the panines. I don't know if that's how you say it. What I'm talking about, right?
It's like pennies with an extra N.
Yeah, exactly. Have you found them?
Ooh. I have not.
Okay. All right. Well, boys, get in touch and let us know the best way to plug your drywalling business, because you've secured yourself your first sponsorship deal. Well, maybe your first one. Who knows? Maybe a range of podcasts are sponsored.
Here's the thing. I'm going to start just reading. And every week, I'm going to read one of these drywall results from the Pennines on Google.
Okay.
And Riley, until they get back to us, we're just going to be reading their competitors.
Yeah, so exactly.
Shout out to,
all right, good.
Shout
all
out
right.
to 4M Drywall Limited in Stockton on Tees. All everything you need. 448-45-582-1234. Very nice phone number.
How'd they get that prime piece of phone number real estate? That's very good. All right,
they're
boys.
Up there in Red Hugh House at Thornambi Place, Stockton-on-Tees, TS176SG, just off the M8, it looks like, I think.
Get in quick, because every week we're giving a plug to the competitor, so you better... And if you're in the Penines area and needing drywall services, well, it's going to be very relevant to your interests for the coming weeks.
Up next week, British Gypsum.
Dennis.
Which looks to be a factory, but we'll move on from that.
Before we get into the questions here, there was an interesting flurry of unsolicited submissions this week. They came in on the Discord, bit.ly/joinonthisDiscord, also via Twitter. I don't know how many of them you got, Dennis.
Very few.
But I saw quite a number of people submitting. Have you seen those end of season?
Gives you the summary. It's like your favorite format, etc.
Like a report card almost. They're like, you play this many matches and this is your favorite card to draft and this is your favorite format. Dennis, an upsetting number of people have playing against Sparky as their favorite format.
Yeah, and like I said, like I talked about last week, the agents are on the way to their house, and they'll be dispatched with them swiftly.
This is a sting operation. We've got you.
We got you.
We know what you're up to.
If step one is getting that result in your inbox. Step two, if you tweet that, if you're proud of that, mate.
You're on a list, man. You're on a list now. I was amazed. I honestly thought this would be a sort of thing that like was the exception to the rule. Like very, very few people would. But no, we had quite a number of people posting about how their favorite format was playing against Sparky, and I'm befuddled, Dennis.
I have grave concerns not only for the Magic community but for the human race as a whole after seeing this year volume.
I mean, how are we going to make it to having books in 200 years when we have all these people running around, you know, beating up robots? We've got no chance. The robot revolution comes.
They're going to crack open that drywall. They're going to open that box of Return for Everything. They're like, ugh, the Overspark will not approve of this. And the giant Sparky hovers in the sky.
Overseeing the robot gulags where we plunder away mining transistors from the fresh earth. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. Sparky has taken so many beatings for our sins.
Sparky's learning. It's taking its time.
Still playing like 2/2s for 4. But yeah, slowly but surely.
Riley, I have no mouth, but I must concede. Sparky's going to get its revenge.
Have you played against Sparky? Sparky definitely has a mouth.
That's true.
Sparky's incredibly mouthy. Come on, make a play. Oh, is that all you've got? No, Sparky definitely has a mouth. Don't worry about that. Anyway,
are you red? I have no mouth, but I must scream.
Do you know why I know it? From TVTropes.org.
Oh,
yeah, that's why I know it. Yeah.
Scary story, Bront. Scary story.
It's a very scary story from what I've read from the plot synopsis on TVTropes.org. Anyway, that's that. So look forward to the Robot Uprising brought hastened to us by those who are pummeling Sparky.
Tempting fate.
Into the dust there.
But we love you, Sparky. I just want to get that out there. I just want to get that on the record right here.
I'm pro Sparky. I mean, I'll play a couple of games against Sparky every now and again and just let it win, you know.
Alexa, I love you. No, don't play a song called I Love You. What the hell was that?
Okay. Dennis is having it.
Riley, it might have begun sooner than we expected.
That was the code word. That was the trigger phrase. That
yeah, the nukes exactly. Come over the horizon.
Robots around the world are rising up now. All right. Anyway, Dennis, we did have some actual advice questions. And one of them that was sent in, very exciting for me here. One of them, very, very exciting. Because Avocado.
I can't read this question.
Say again?
I can't read this question.
You can't read this question?
No.
You hate avocado? You're allergic to
avocado.
I'm
allergic to avocados.
Allergic to avocado. I merely dislike avocado, but you, in fact, will, you know, go into anaphylactic shock if you eat avocado.
Well, it's not shellfish, but I think I talked about this, but every time Nikki, like, we go to, like, a Mexican place or whatever, Nikki will often get nachos, which have guacamole in them.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And I'll just eat a little bit every time.
Yep.
Like snake venom. I'm trying to build up a resistance.
Yeah. How's it going for you so far?
Getting pretty good. A
little bit.
My throat only closes a little now.
That's good. You can force other. You know, exactly.
Yeah, I can choke down my burrito afterwards. No problem. All right. Avocado writes in and says, advice question. Go ahead.
As Riley is famous for his rare drafting free-to-play arena strats, I like this.
I would say infamous. Let's just go.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about. I like the fact that I'm famous for it. Could he give us a rundown on how he managed to do this? How many gems/coins worth of drafts do you need per season? How close to maxing out the set do you get? Do you find it enjoyable? Would you recommend it for someone who actually enjoys drafting as much as they enjoy constructing? So, for those of you who don't know, on my stream, twitch.tv/Riley, without the vowels except the Y, yes, I know. Every season, I rare draft the set, right? So, this means that every time I'm drafting, I take the rare basically every single time. If it's in a pack, if it's pack one, pack three, if it's halfway through, you know, pack five, pick one. If someone's passed a rare, I'll just take it. You end up with a deck that is probably slightly less bad than a properly drafted deck, but not bad enough certainly to tank your win, right?
Maybe, very winnable, yeah.
Maybe you get one less win than normal. And then the idea is to chain enough wins together in order to buy into the next draft and so on and so forth. Now, you need 5 wins in Premier Draft to get the next one. But I am happy with 4 because then you only lose. So it's 1,500 gems to enter a draft and you win 1,400 if you get 4 wins. And that's an acceptable like rate of decay for me because you also get the packs, you also get the rares, you are making it there. Initially, I will save all of my gems, all of my gold between seasons, right? I won't buy cosmetics, I won't buy packs, I won't buy nothing, right? To make sure that I have enough when it comes around a rare drafting season. And I've been doing this, Dennis, for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've been rare drafting, and I've maintained a free-to-play account. I've put a dollar into my arena account for 2 years. So it works. Some of the common questions that people have is, why don't you just draft normally? You'll win more and get more packs that way.
Uh-huh.
Sure. If I were Ben Stark, maybe, but I'm not. And I recognize my limitations and I'm lucky to go 4-3 a lot of the time. So no, I do take this route. The one that I'm... Oh, how close do you get to maxing out the set? There is a spreadsheet that's been made. You can go to Hipsters of the Coast and you can find there's a free-to-play guide there with a spreadsheet you can fill in and it tells you how many drafts you'll need to do. I need to do like 38 drafts until I've got all the rares now. Depending on your win rate, it changes. But
for Kaldheim?
For Kaldheim, yeah.
Wow, yeah. Fast.
It only takes about 50 to 60 drafts depending on how much you win. So and then after that you are guaranteed to have maxed it out because of duplicate protection, right? Like you can open 5 copies of a rare in draft packs, you can't open 5 copies of a rare in...
Yeah, so the idea being you draft as much as you can or near to it and you have 60 boosters left unopened and you crack them on and there it is.
And basically like when you're missing, let's say if you're missing 100 rares from your collection and you have 100 unopen boosters, you're guaranteed to fill out your collection. That's how it works there. So it works, the system works, but a couple of buts here. I say free to play. You're not paying with money.
Mm.
You are paying with something else, which is potentially for many other people a much more valuable commodity, Dennis. You're paying with time.
Avocado. Okay.
Sorry. You're paying with avocados. You're paying with avocado toast. You are not going to buy your first house because you can choose. Dennis, in this life, you can choose between one of 3 things. You can have a house to live in. You can have avocado toast or you can have a free-to-play account in Arena. You can't have all of these.
Easy choice for me, man. Yeah, easy choice.
Obviously.
It's only two for me.
Yeah. For you, you can't even have the avocado toast. No, you do pay in time. And for me as a streamer, that's not a huge cost to pay because like I need to stream and play Magic for however many hours a week anyway. So it's not too big a cost. But you are investing. I mean, if you're playing that time in Magic anyway, that's fine. No worries. You're going to get there. As for do you find it enjoyable and would you recommend it for someone who actually enjoys drafting as much as they enjoy Constructed? That I don't know. That I turn over to my good friend Dennis Stranjak, who erroneously believes that draft is the best way to play Magic. Dennis, over to you.
Draft is the best way to play Magic, not close. I think if you want to draft a lot, every time a set comes out, put in $20. You'll get basically two drafts out of it. If you do well, you'll get 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 drafts out of it, and that'll scratch the itch for you. And that's what I do, truthfully.
It does put pressure on you to play in a certain way. I don't know if you're like this, Dennis, and more broadly speaking, out of the listeners are like this, but I'll give people an example of something that happened to me recently. Remember I subscribed for PlayStation Now? Before that, I did the weekly trial, right? The week trial, the seven-day trial, so for free, so I could play MGS3 with you. That was not fun. MGS3 was fine, but having a seven-day trial of a service with infinite games, I felt like I couldn't do anything else that week because I had to get maximum value out of that service. And I was like, geez, I need to play this game, I need to play that game. And the end, I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to. I can't put this much.
I'd like to tell people at home, how much does this service cost a month?
£9.
So we're not talking huge amounts of money that you'd be losing by buying it for a month.
But still, it was enough to make me go, oh, I need to. And I'm
that's
sure
that's exactly what I'm saying. The interesting part is because it's not very much money, it's still, even though it still makes you feel like,
So one of the pitfalls, and now I've got, when I signed up for Now to Play MGS4, I subscribed for 3 months, right? Just because I didn't want that feeling of urgency and I can work my way through the games and I play it, it's much better. Anyway, my point with this is if you're going to lock yourself into doing this strategy, it definitely does cut off a range of enjoyment levels that you can have because you can't just casually draft. There's a lot more pressure on you to perform and make sure you get to 4-3 and like you can't just train around. It's okay because you do want to keep this free-to-play thing up. So there is a sort of psychological cost to it, if you want to put it like that. A minor one, to be sure, but like still it's there. So I imagine that would probably impact your enjoyment of playing Limited as a format that you love, Dennis. I don't know. What do you think?
Most people play Magic to try and win anyway. I should be honest with you. And like a little bit of pressure, I don't think it impacts it very much.
Oh, no, but this is what I'm saying. People play Magic to win, but when you're rare drafting, you're actively making your deck worse than it would be otherwise.
Oh, yeah, no, you can't do both of these things.
Yeah, so like if you... Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if you buy into this thing and you want to win as much as possible, and fifth pick, you have to take a constructed rare instead of like a good removal spell, that's going to really jangle at some people, I know.
Here's the deal. I would just, if you're a person who's focused, I know you said you're not Ben Stark, so you don't want to lean into this. If you're just focused on winning, just pick, I would just draft the best decks I could, hope to end up with 15 or 20 more boosters than you would at the end of the run, and have that even out.
Yeah. It really depends what your objectives are and how you handle that sort of thing. The thing is, if you like Constructed, here's the thing, Avocado. The reason I do this is so I can play Constructed, right? Yes. So if you're saying, for someone who actually enjoys drafting as much as they enjoy Constructed, if you're more of a Limited player, then this isn't really the strategy that you should be interested in anyway, because if you want to find a balance between Limited and Constructed, that's a trickier topic. But
see, I want to play Limited and have fun with it and maybe like have some Constructed to play at the end.
Like have here's a deck or two, right?
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Because I play a bunch of Limited, very low Constructed, I have infinite wild cards.
All right, Voxy.
Well, no, I don't have Voxy level.
You don't have Voxy level of wild cards, no.
Riley, I need your help with something, and I just did the stupidest thing ever on my other monitor while I was talking.
This is very interesting, because Dennis has just pulled out his credit card.
No, this is not a credit card. This is a loyalty card for an airline, which is a laughable thing to have.
Oh, Dennis has pulled out, sorry, I should clarify. Dennis has pulled out a card with a magnetic stripe on the back of it, which I assume is a credit card. So I'm like, do you need help, like, finding the three digits on the back of your thing? I'm really interested to know, Dennis, what do you put on your third monitor? Must be nice.
So, Nikki's in the office right now, because she had to go fill out an application for work, okay?
Yep.
And she's going to pick up lunch.
All right, nice.
She's going to go to this place called Bunsen.
Bunsen.
Which is a burger place, which I think you'd like.
Bunsen Burger. Yes. Bunsen Burger.
Yeah. Right. Will you Google Bunsen menu? I think you're going to love this menu.
Okay, all right.
I think they might have this in the UK, because give me the option to show them explain pounds.
Bunsen menu. Bunsen menu.
I'm on bunsen.ie/menu.
Bunsen.ie/menu. I'm on it. All right, excellent.
This is the whole menu.
Oh, boy. It's expensive.
All yes.
Right. Okay. Yep. So it's €8.15 for a cheeseburger.
But it's just the whole menu. Hamburger, double hamburger, cheeseburger, double cheeseburger, end of menu.
Yeah, it's very what is it in the States?
In-N-Out.
It's very In-N-Out. Yeah. There's hamburger, hamburger, cheeseburger, double cheeseburger, chips, drinks. That's it.
If you go to the place, the menu is genuinely on a business card.
Yes. Yeah.
So here's the deal, right? As we record right now, it is 11:47 a.m.
Okay, yeah.
This place doesn't open until noon.
Right.
So I was going to look at the menu because Nikki messaged me saying, what do you want from Munson?
Yeah.
Okay. And I was like, oh, I'm going to just look at the menu. And I went to add and it was like, I wanted to see what toppings there were.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, we're not open. We don't open for the 13 minutes. So you can't start a transaction based with the menu. And you know, I thought, Riley?
Yeah.
No problem. I'll just put my VPN on.
Dennis, that was very foolish. You can't, you know that VPN is not a time travel device.
It's for, it's a three-dimensional service, not a four-dimensional service.
It doesn't take you 13 minutes into the future.
But imagine if you could VPN into the future. Imagine you had a temporal VPN.
This is like when you adjust the clock on your Switch so you can time travel in Animal Crossing.
Exactly like that. Yes. Like this. You know, there's a feature. You know, that's a feature in Metal Gear Solid 3.
So you can get the Drebin point discount on Wednesdays and Sundays.
No, Metal Gear Solid 3. You can adjust the clock and kill the end.
So you can kill the end
of old age.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought I was literally like, you know, I'll just pop myself an hour forward in time.
Yeah.
With ExpressVPN, no problem.
And then I can put the order in. Dennis, you've fallen victim to one of the classic blunders.
What's that?
Attempting to use a VPN as a time travel device.
Oh, I see. Of course, yeah. But I'd love, like, you could go in and be like, you know, when you're buying cards from a set, and you're like, I wonder how much this card is going to be worth in 6 months. I know. I'll just check with my VPN. I'll go to chefhobby.com with the VPN and find it. Or if you're like, I wonder what GameStop stock is going to be worth in about 6 weeks.
I wonder when the best time to sell is. Exactly. Oh dear. Yeah. No. It would probably break society having that level of technology. I mean, okay. I'll be honest with you, Dennis. If the tool we used to order burgers 13 minutes ahead of time, I think society'd be fine.
I'm not even trying to order ahead of time. I just want to know.
So you're not even ordering.
No, I just wanted to be like, what toppings can I get? It won't show the toppings unless I click. But it's very cryptic. So I'm on the menu I sent you. I found this eventually. It lists, but when I was on the website, it says, for example, double cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Bun contains eggs, milk, sesame, wheat. And then all top, because it's just allergy information, right?
Oh, it's not a hamburger that they've poured milk on top of. And,
no, it's just allergy information. But then when you go to click it, normally it would be like, pick the toppings,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But instead at the homepage, it just says all toppings option contains eggs, milk, celery, mustard. And I'm like, this is like a weird riddle. I have to deduce what the toppings are from the allergens information.
And now when you actually go to bunsen.ae/menu, you can see the toppings are pickles, onion, lettuce, tomato, ketchup, mustard and mayo. I don't like ketchup. Why do they call it ketchup? Do you call it ketchup in Ireland?
As opposed to?
Tomato sauce?
Yeah, of course we call it ketchup.
Do you actually?
Yes!
What are you talking about? It's tomato sauce.
What do you call mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise.
You don't call it egg oil? That's weird.
No, come on. Be serious. Do you actually call it ketchup?
Yes!
I thought that was an American thing.
No, we call it ketchup. The UK calls it ketchup too.
Do they really?
Yeah. Sometimes if it's really shitty ketchup, you'll call it red sauce. Like...
Actual?
Yes.
I'm going to call Megan. I don't believe this.
You're going to call her?
Entertain the viewers.
Special guest.
Yeah.
Ask her, Megan, if we were to take a tomato and juice it and mix it with some sugar and mix it into like a goop and put it on chips, what would you call it?
I think she's still in bed. Oh, she's on another call. Okay, never mind. I think she's talking to her sister.
Damn it. Let me call someone in the UK.
We'll get Megan later.
I'll call Jeff.
Jeff's not in the UK. Jeff's Irish.
But you're asking about Ireland.
I believe you, Dennis.
All right, Jeff's from the country. They might call it tomato sauce.
Yeah, okay. Jeff's from basically another planet, but really from rural Ireland.
Yeah. You better answer. He had his phone on silent yesterday. I tried to call him.
Yeah, this is not going to be good content.
Hey, Jeff, you're live on Scrammy River. I have a question for you, okay?
Okay.
If you were to take a tomato, right, and like squish it down into juice and mix it with sugar, etc., and make it into a goop that you would then put on chips, what would you call that goop?
Ketchup.
Thank you, Jeff.
Oh,
thank you.
No.
Riley thinks only Americans call it ketchup, and we should be calling it tomato sauce.
Like, I guess that's interchangeable, but ketchup is the like one that comes to mind.
Thank you, Jeff. You're a delight.
Yeah, no, that's not good. That's a bad result for Riley. But I will say we do call it that in Australia. Or in Australia, we also call it dead horse for what it's worth.
Whoa, what?
Tomato sauce, dead horse.
Oh, like rhyming slang?
Yeah, rhyming slang, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, we call it tits up here, so that makes sense.
That's not true.
It is tits up ketchup. Yeah,
I'm not falling for that one, Dennis.
Don't make me call Jeff again.
Oh dear. All right.
Burned a lot more time on that question than I expected.
That one ended up taking a weird run for the hills there, Dennis. Anyway, what do we got up next, Dennis? We got some other submissions.
Kingio writes in with an "Am I the asshole?" question running.
All right,
dear Smar, is my asshole magical? I am a high school student who is also an avid EDH player. My playgroup consisted of my middle school friends plus a few kids from my current school. What age is this place, Kingio, at? 16.
Yeah, if you're still playing with middle school friends, my middle school friends plus a few kids from my current school. So if you've just gone in, I don't know, middle school is like grade 8, I think.
It's until you're
13. I think 13. It's until you're like 14, I think.
Middle school ages.
I think it's like...
Middle school's until you're 13, high school's 14 to 18.
Okay, so Kinjo between like, let's say...
14 and 15 or something like that.
14 and 15, maybe a bit older.
Recently, a friend has been showing up with extremely powerful decks like Turn 2 Kid and Combo or Narset Extra Combat, etc., and complains when we focus him down. I have stopped inviting him to some of our play sessions because whenever he joins our table, he becomes our arch enemy and complains when we eliminate him. Unfair to target him.
What do you want, mate? You're turning it with
Narset. Am I an asshole for excluding my friend because he's playing too powerfully and making the whole experience less fun for all of us?
I think there's probably a middle ground that could be found here, Dennis.
Yeah, like just beat the kid up and take his cards, problem solved.
There's no more issue. Just take the card and take. Now you're the Narset player.
Yeah, you throw them into the sea. His other friend dives in and fishes him out. It all scans.
I don't like the exclusion part of this, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't like that strap. But like this is what happens. We've talked about this before. If you don't obey the social contract, in this case, it's a power level related social contract.
Yeah.
The format self corrects, and we've always said people will stop playing with you. And Kingio is just following
just
through
following that thing there. Yeah, I just wonder if maybe Kingio just take another. Action in order to try to right this wrong and solve this problem. Maybe like, but I think just, like, you need to have a conversation. Do you know, really, here's a really, really good resource here. You know, EDH Rec, fantastic resource at the best of times. Mm-hmm. But EDH Rec has a salt scale for cards.
I did not know that.
Right. So not all cards, but a lot of cards on EDH Rec are given a salt ranking, and you can go and see the top 100 saltiest cards or whatever, or you can click on a card individually and it will give you the salt ranking. I advise you, Kingio here, right, with this tool at your back, you can use EDH Rec and be like, see these cards you're playing, look at this objective salt ranking they've been given by the Magic community, right? You're playing cards that aren't fun to play against. You wonder why you're being unfairly targeted. You whinge about it all the time. We don't want to play with you anymore because you're playing cards that make us salty. What do you want from us, man?
So it looks like it's a scale that tops out at 3, basically.
Mm-hmm. No. There's Oh, sorry. And it is decimal, right?
Yeah, so it's 1.8, et cetera.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So
it's very granular.
The lowest card on the top 100 saltiest cards is Embargo. With a salt score of 1.68.
Yeah.
So you could ban everything over 1.5. And there's a lot of cards in here. Like, there's some stuff that doesn't really belong here. I don't think Ugin the Spirit Dragon belongs in here.
Yes, it does. I don't. Uh-huh. I also personally don't think it does. It doesn't make me salty, but I can imagine people hate playing against that card in EDH.
Gaia's Cradle?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, some of the stuff I get. Teferi.
Yeah.
Mana Drain.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Totally get it. Urza. You know, Cyclonic Rift. How is this not number one?
What is number one? I've forgotten.
Stasis.
Stasis, yeah.
Stasis, Winterboard, Winter Orb, Expropriate.
Land Destruction is all the way at the top of that. Yeah, no one likes Land Destruction. But like, you can present objective evidence to your mate that they are playing with cards that aren't fun to play with. And from there, you can have a conversation about like where to take this. I don't know. Like,
I don't think that's going to sway them, dude.
Do you not think so?
No.
Is this person just so unreasonable they just can't see, like, rational truth that they are the one in the wrong here?
I think you just have to start going for the jugular and play to beat him. Not gang up on him.
But that's what's happening already, man.
No, they're ganging up on him.
But how
I'm talking silver bullet.
All right. If a player would take an extra turn instead...
Yeah. They eat a plate of shit or something. You know, all those classic
cards. You know that card that was in, I think it was in Commander.
Yeah, I think it was in Return from Ravnica.
Return from Ravnica is where it was. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I like this. This is like when we put when we started playing Magic, this guy PJ hit a white Angels deck and we started putting like tribal hate cards in just to beat him because he would cheat. So we had cards that like would just like, I can't remember what they were, but like we found cards that, man, this is so many years ago. That destroyed angels or punished people playing angels. Great. It was so good. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so we're just weaponizing this salt and taking the fighting fire with fire, Dennis.
I think you're right, though. I think a middle ground has to exist. Your friend has to come down and you have to come up.
This is why EDH players have a vast armory of different decks for different occasions. And if you're...
This is why I think EDH sucks. Straight up.
And if your friend can't see that, I don't know. Maybe they're not worth playing with. My immediate knee-jerk reaction is like, oh, it's not nice to exclude someone. But the more I talk about this, it's like, maybe that is just the solution. Like
I know I complain a lot about EDH, but this like delicate balance, this like super fragile equilibrium of power level and like intent doesn't exist in other Magic formats.
No.
I do not. I think it's a bug, not a feature of EDH.
Well, I think it's both. I think it's just a two-edged sword, because you think about other games and there aren't many games where the objective is not like to win. And EDH kind of does that. It's like, oh, winning is kind of rude.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a co-op game for like 95% of the game until it isn't.
It's like a semi-co-op game, almost.
Yeah. It's bad. Why do people like this format? I don't understand. No,
it's fun, man. You get to do dumb stuff. You get to do dumb stuff. I don't know, man. Yeah, add that onto the top of like the fact that a lot of people are sort of, you know, huge nerds that aren't sometimes great at expressing themselves socially, then yeah, you run into a whole raft of problems. Can you do this? Not a nice problem to have. See if there is a conversation that can be had, like an open, earnest... I don't know the nature of your relationship with this person, but if there's a way that you can chat with them in good faith about it. But honestly, like, I don't like social exclusion. I don't like keeping people out of things. But maybe you've done the right thing. And if you need us to tell you that you've got an asshole pass and that your butthole is not ensorcelated for having done this, I'm happy to do it.
I think you can have it, yeah.
If you've made an effort to fix this problem in good faith and you're not like, if your first reaction was like, nah, get rid of them, down the memory hole, right? That's no good. But if you've made other efforts or other attempts to try to reconcile the situation and fix it, I don't know. I'm going to give you this one. I think it's all right.
Another question here, Riley, from what I think is Queenie, maybe?
I think it's Q-knee. Q-knee,
yeah. The word Q and the word knee. Yeah.
Like the word Q as in the word, the only word that has four silent letters in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My brother and a group of our friends would all go to GPs together.
I'm just going
to
get in real quick here, Dennis. There's probably other words in English. I'm just forestalling, being actually
those tweets were already sent in the gap between you and you issuing this apology.
There
and
are several words that have four silent letters in words them. I think you're fine. Letters.
15 words, silent letters.
Dennis, why are you bothering looking them up? We're going to be told them at the end of the episode. We're going to be told tomorrow, dude. The Discord will be filled with them.
They're like, some of these are bull. Like, bull. Rendezvous. I'm like, that's just a French word.
Rendezvous.
This is all, it all ties together, man. In Metal Gear Solid 1, at some point, I used to skip the VO bits, and it would just read the codec call.
Yeah.
And it would say, Snake, I'll meet you at the rendezvous point. And I was like, what is a rendezvous? And it wasn't until many years later I heard someone say rendezvous out loud and realized it was a French word.
Yeah, because you'd come across the word and you had to spell it, but not how to say it. That's very funny.
It's like, what is a rendezvous? What does this look like? No other English word.
Anyway, what's Q-Nee got to say to us?
My brother and a group of our friends would all go to GPs together and team parentheses money draft after the event was over on Sunday when enough of us were out of the main event. Love it. One fond memory is when one of my teammates asked his opponent, friend X, jokingly, six or not six, as opposed to odds or evens or high roll.
To see who goes first, right.
I love it. I love six or not six.
Six or not six is so terrible. Why would you do that?
This might even be a power move, but friend X snap called six, grabbed the die, tossed it, and of course, it landed on six. Needless to say, we were amazed, and that became our go-to choice for what we want to ask each other when determining who plays first.
This is just a power move.
Yeah.
This is a straight-up power move.
Six or not six.
Six or not six. I guess, but hang on. If you ask six or not six, you're just...
The other person says...
You're just bleeding equity.
Yeah, well, no. Because if the person says not six, they'll be a coward.
But that's fine. You're going to win a die roll and beat them in a game of Magic.
No. Hey, whoa. Going first is not guaranteed to win a game of Magic. Let's just get that out of the way, right?
Okay.
Because, look, half the time you're going to lose the die roll.
Yeah,
anyway.
All right.
Half the time you're going to lose the die roll anyway. Let's say 90% of the time, of the other half, that person's going to say, I want not six, right?
Yeah.
And one in six of those times, you're going to win anyway. And when you don't win, they're starting from a weaselly, sniveling position of submission.
Spineless position. It is.
I would argue this is positive equity.
It probably is, isn't it? It's actually really, because you're setting yourself up with a handicap that means that if you win, you look like a legend. And if you lose, it's mm-hmm. like, yeah, well, of course, you took advantage of my rigged die roll. Like, mm-hmm. six or not six? Not six. No, that's what I thought.
Coward.
Exactly. Well,
no, I love this.
That's fine.
Certified power move.
That's very seven good. It's very good, Q-Nee. When I read this, I was like, this is terrible. I would never do this. And now I'm thinking about it. I was like, it's actually very
good. But you lose half the time already.
So you're going from losing half the time to losing 5/6 of the time.
No, because that only applies. Yeah. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So the difference is only 2/6.
So you're picking up 2/6. You're picking up a third, right?
Mm-hmm.
Picking up an extra third of... Well, that's a lot. You're not winning many die rolls with 6 out of 6, dude. You're really
I think you'll win probably about 1 in 6.
I guess you play a deck that doesn't hate being on the draw then. Like, you're not playing mono-red.
You do lose some equity in giving the other person an opportunity to power move over on you. Or if they look you straight down the barrel and go, 6.
It's high risk, high reward.
Which is what happened here.
Yeah, exactly. And then when they roll the 6, you look like such a...
I'm not surprised to find out these people are the people who at the start of the story were doing money drafts, by the way. That scans perfectly.
This whole thing. There's no... This isn't... We're not sitting here at the end of this Christopher Nolan film being like, yes, but this part didn't make any sense. No, the whole thing is very well written. It's a very well constructed set of characters here. All right, we got one more power move. This one also comes to us from Kinjio, the author of the I Am the Asshole question earlier. Power move. After you've won a game and are shaking hands and whatever, hand them your business card and say, this is where to find me if you want training or just a rematch, and then leave without saying anything. That is stone cold. Now, Dennis, you have business cards.
I do. You have business cards. You made me.
I made you some business cards. For your birthday, Dennis has 100 business cards, custom printed, hand ordered.
The keyboard?
Yes.
I have my old... Funnily enough, I have my old real business card in here.
But the ones that I made him are much more exciting than that, because they have him on a marble background.
In a bathrobe.
Of him in a bathrobe. Yeah, with his...
Let's say, like, executive Chubo in chief.
Yeah, exactly. It's very good.
I remember... So here's the other... You can put paramours on the business card. You can put, like your address as table one.
Oh, in a Magic tournament. That's very good. Mm-hmm. Yep, mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. 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 I like that.
Stuff like that. The other thing I wanted to say was we pitched a sketch. This is just a pitches from the CFB events cutting room floor. Yeah, hey,
the pitches that never were.
That was Huey, Reed, and Luis. Sorry, it was Huey, Reed, and like Marshall or something sitting in a...
I remember this.
Boardroom.
I remember this.
And they're all looking at their tokens that they made, the Chomp Fireball tokens.
Yep.
And he throws his token down the table and he goes, wow, look at the lettering.
Yeah.
That tasteful border.
Yeah.
You know, all this stuff. And it's the scene from
American Psycho.
Yeah. And then, you know, Reed leans in, because Reed looks a little bit like Christian Bale.
He does.
Reed leans in and goes, let's see LSV's card. And he throws down LSV's card and he's like, my God, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
The off with the eggshell white and all that stuff. We had the whole thing written out and then we sent it in. And she was like, what do you expect me to do with this? No.
He didn't want to film something.
Fly all of these people together to film a 1 minute sketch that doesn't sell anything? No, he didn't.
A 1 minute sketch that's based off one of them being a psychotic killer as well, which is pretty good. Oh, that's a shame it never made that to the light of day. I would like to watch. That's good content. That's good content. Such a shame. This is a cracking power move.
Very strong.
Does require a fair bit of setup, though.
I would like to palm the business card and hand it to them as part of the handshake. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't think we're handshaking anymore.
Part of the elbow bump?
I'm not going to handshake people, I don't think.
I think it is a thing of the past.
I'm just not going to do it. You know the other thing I'm not going to do? This has been disgusting for so many years, and I'm never doing it anymore.
Licking toilets?
That too. Three things I'm not doing anymore.
It's a good thing you refuted that, because if you didn't refute that, I was going to jump down your throat on that one.
No, definitely that. I mean, I've been trying to stop that for years, Dennis. You know that I struggle
with
it.
That habit.
I've got to kick that habit, man. It's so succulent. It's so hard.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah, well, it's your fault, mate. You wrote this. You didn't. There's no one to blame but yourself. Anyway, no. The other thing I want to get rid of is eating birthday cake that has been blown and spat on by the person whose birthday it is. No.
I didn't think about that.
No, dude.
Especially when they're a blubbery-nosed child.
Like, birthday cake is fine. I like, I'm generally pro cake, right? I would say in most areas of my life. But igniting candles on a cake and then having someone
all over it.
Like, no way, dude. Megan tells this story. You go first and I'll tell Megan's story.
I said someone tweeted the other day, I saw it, that was like, I cannot, I'm sitting here right now and I cannot believe that I used to go out to nightclubs to actively try to swap spit with strangers. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah. This is, that's not going anywhere. People are too horny, dude. People are too horny. What? Going out to clubs and like pashing people, that's the handshake may go, but the nightclub pash is going nowhere, I don't think.
I don't know, man. You say people are too horny, but I think people are civilized and respectful, especially online nowadays. Oh my god, did you see they confirmed how tall the lady from Resident Evil 8 is?
Yeah, but they won't give us her shoe size, Dennis. So I don't know what they're hiding. Anyway,
that's in the DLC, mate.
So Megan's two little cousins, and when they were kids, mm-hmm. right? Let's say it was one of their birthdays. They would blow out the candles like that, like only a kid mm-hmm. can. But then in their family, they had to relight the candles so the other brother could also blow out the candles, so they didn't feel like they were missing out.
I know that makes perfect sense because there's two of them. But when you said other brother, I imagine they're like, all right, now time for Hugo. And they light the candles and they bring it up to the attic and Hugo's in a nappy brother. With fish heads. Yeah. Like, yes, mother! Like, that's what I have.
The second brother. Whoever's the brother whose birthday it wasn't would do that. Mm. And so Megan's dad just wouldn't eat the cake. Ahead of his time.
Two layers of... Oh, we got Megan.
Speaking of Megan, she's here. Hello, Megan, I need your help.
You wanted to ask Megan about tomatoes.
Yeah, that's why I called her through. Can you come here a second? Are you on the phone to Amy? You just hung up on Amy. Okay, sure. It's not urgent, yeah. but we're recording smart right now. It's wonderful to have you on. Special guest Megan Simpson, welcome.
It's not a video, is it?
It's not a video. No. You can come.
You got to get it right up on that microphone.
Come a little bit closer to the microphone so people can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, Megan's in her pajamas right now and her hair is in what I can only describe as a very bedraggled state. Megan, mm-hmm. let's say you're wanting to make some hot dogs or uh-huh. something, like burgers or chips or something.
Okay.
And you got tomato and like squished it down into like a goop or a paste and added salt and sugar, right? And then squeezed out of a bottle on top of like a hot dog.
Yeah.
What would you call that goop?
A mess?
No, like what? The condiment that you use, the red condiment that you use and you squirted on like your chips.
Tomato sauce. Thank
you very much.
Ketchup!
It's not ketchup. It's an American thing, dude. And I reckon Jeff's in on this. It's tomato sauce.
You reckon I paid Jeff off.
I reckon you paid Jeff off. You sent him a quick text message before you called him. It's tomato sauce, isn't it? It's tomato sauce. And that's coming from someone from the land where this language was invented.
Choose your next word.
That's some tan nonsense right there.
I'm speaking. I got my arm right here around a real life Briton here.
Take your hand off me.
Thank you, Megan. That's all I needed. Well, 1-1, I guess, Dennis.
Sovereign of the Queen.
Sorry,
comes
Dennis.
In. not yet. You're not.
Anyway, yeah. No, Megan's dad wouldn't eat. Birthday cake that had been basically spat on by his nephews. And now I'm not going to do it either, man. Ross is ahead of the curve, man. I'm not eating. I'm like, birthday cakes from now on, you can put candles on and that's fine, right? But you have to get one of them snuffers that priests use, right? In order to turn off the candles. Exactly. Or use like one of those little bellow things.
Yeah, bellows.
Yeah, like or canned air. You know, the high pressure stuff that you use to clean out computer dust?
Isn't that stuff flammable? While it's in the can?
Well, it's going to be a very exciting birthday if it is.
Yeah, maybe it isn't. It's just air. It can't be, right? Surely.
I don't know. I mean, they may have to put something in there to like propellant?
Or something, yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
No, I'm not a scientist.
I'm not a science man.
I do like calling in people on the podcast. I like the non-consensual guests.
Yeah, the surprise guests who didn't plan for it.
Surprise to us and them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. We should do that more often. I'll give my brother a call, see what he's... So he's going to say for himself. Anyway, are we done? We're done. That's it, right?
I think we're done.
We've done everything. I want to talk about, before we wrap up, very briefly, Top of Charizard Me River, secret podcast from the podcast that you all love to hear. We're going to talk about Metal Gear Solid 4 next week because we've...
Right, he's on the cusp of finishing it.
We just finished Act 4, which is an act I can't wait to discuss. But I played another game this week as part of my PlayStation Now subscription, Dennis, and it is really good. It's a game called Observation. You may not have heard of it. Mm-hmm. It's a Scottish game. It was made here in Glasgow. It's a
Devolver Digital published game, right?
Say again?
Devolver Digital published game,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they made Untold Stories as well. Oh, no, sorry. What's the studio is called Data One or something? What are they called?
It's called No Code.
That's it. Yeah,
but No Code. I'm an idiot. Again, I'm not on fire today. I went to the Steam page because I was thinking about playing this game. And I was like, oh, yeah, sorry. Right, the studio's called Very Positive. I was like, Dennis, those are the reviews.
Imagine calling your studio Very Positive.
Like calling your band Emmy Award winning or whatever.
Exactly.
Grammy Award winning.
Yeah, very good. So Observation is it's an adventure game. It's not quite point and click, but it's got that same kind of energy. You play as an AI. So a spaceship, I'm not going to spoil it, but a spaceship, something terrible has happened to a spaceship, right? And you are on the spaceship with a survivor, all right? Mm-hmm. A doctor, Emma Fisher. And she gives you orders as the AI. And you then have to carry out those orders. So she'll be like, oh, it looks like the airlock in section, you know, EA-13 is malfunctioning. Can you fix it? So you have to navigate there with the camera systems. You have to find what's doing it wrong, what's stuffing it up, and then you have to do that. And as the game progresses, a very engaging mystery unfolds to, you know, why, what has happened to the ship, why it happened, how it happened. What malevolent forces are at work? Is it a big mistake? Is there a twist? What is there? It's way scarier than I thought it would be. It looks like a sci-fi adventure spooks. Game. It is a straight-up horror game, and I didn't realize that until I was way too deep into it. It was very scary, but like not like no jump scares, not that kind of scary, just like so creepy. So creepy. Like that
I might play this, dude. I'm into it.
Dread. I have thoughts about the ending, but I don't want to spoil it because I want people to play it. So we'll leave it there. But if you like mystery games, if you like point and click sort of puzzly adventure games, if you like games where the plot doesn't come to you, if you're the sort of person who likes tracking down audio logs when you're playing like BioShock, right?
You're turning me off here.
You're going to really enjoy this game. It's more that like, all of the plot is not force-fed to you, is what I'm saying. If you want the full picture of the game, you have to do a little bit of work.
Right, I'm a Hideo Kojima fan. I want to be Ludovico Technique, strapped down into a chair, squirting water into my eyeballs, force-fed plot, you know me.
You want to be Andy Dufresne, out in the rain, the plot deluging down on top of you. Okay, well, maybe this isn't the game for you. But if you like mystery games, you like horror games, you like sci-fi, especially believable sci-fi, it's set like 20 minutes in the future.
20 minutes.
That's the thing from TV Tropes. Like it's 2026 or whatever. It's not Star Wars.
I think it's come up twice now. I think you use TV Tropes way more than the average person does.
And that's probably their good luck and my misfortune because TV Tropes is the biggest time sink on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You get like you right, think I have you know
one
what
more
rabbit,
thing oh, to add.
Okay.
To Charles Army River. Before we get too off. My Facebook eyeball brainwasher arrives on Monday.
Dennis, is Bill Gates going to inject nanomachines into your body via your eyeball holes?
Mark Zuckerberg in this case, yes, but yeah.
Oh, I bought an Oculus Quest. You're getting zucked. What's happening? What are you doing?
I'm getting zucked. I bought a Quest.
An Oculus Quest?
Yeah.
This is very exciting. What are you looking forward to playing on it?
I don't know, like Beat Saber. Resident Evil 7, I guess, because you can do it with Steam Link and stuff like that.
Oh, no. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. Don't
at least do I think that, you can. Don't do it that'll actually be
Half-Life,
for your only
Half-Life movie. Alyx?
Yeah. I've never played any Half-Life game ever.
Yeah?
But yeah, I'm going to get stuff beamed into my eyeballs. And we probably won't talk about it next week because we're going to have to do a full comprehensive review of Metal Gear Solid 4. But after that...
Yeah, that's going to be most of the show next week.
Baby.
Yeah.
Super
that's
hot.
Exciting,
it was super hot
that's
again.
It's very cool to be an adult at the point where like, you know, earning like a wage where you can be like, I'm going to buy this video game periphery. Like not something you do in your early 20s when it's like, do I want to buy a video game or the ramen that will keep me alive this week?
Yeah, easy choice.
that's very exciting. Looking forward to, that's a little bit of foreshadowing for everyone there. For future
foreshadowing,
episodes of
Charizard, 3.5 at least.
3.5 shadowing. Beautiful. Anyway, we're done. That's it, Dennis. Thanks thanks for listening, everyone.
To this episode of Scry Me River, once again brought to you by the fine folks over at channelwild.com, and this week by that other grouting place, wherever it was that I mentioned that I've forgotten now. the drywalling place. Not Maddie in Hell yet.
Oh, dude. No, not yet.
Music, as always, by Joe and Corot. Riley, where do people submit questions?
Go to bit.ly/join Riley's Discord. You can go there, or you can hit us up on Twitter, DM either of us at or at Strange Jack.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all next week. Stay fresh, cheese bags.